You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Welcome to Business Spotlight. We are talking renewable energy. We're talking IPPs. We're talking Eskom. We're talking about the mess that our country finds itself in when it comes to energy. In studio today, we are joined by Rob Jeffrey, who is quite a bit of an expert, more than 40 years in South Africa. And primarily, he understands construction, but because of the lot of projects that he's done over the years, and been involved in, he's built a number of power stations, and recently he was also managing director of Econometrics, and he's here to just share some of his insights with us just around renewable energy in South Africa and what it might actually mean for the country going forward. How are you, Rob?
Thank you very much for inviting me on this maneuver, and I'm looking forward to discussing this. I sit on the Reserve Bank economic roundtable as well.
Yeah. Can I just ask, from your point of view, I think for a lot of South Africans, they might think that Eskom sort of just arrived at this point that they are in. Over the years, what would you say, where do you think were some of the breaking points where you can say Eskom should have been able to predict some of these things to avert the crisis that we're in now?
Well, it has been a long time as work in progress,
yeah.
which is very unfortunate. And I think it also arises because of too much government interference,
yeah,
in the affairs of Eskom and taking energy decisions outside of energy specialist groups.
Yeah.
And Eskom actually recommended that new power stations be built. Their recommendation was made far back as 1998, I think, and with a view that they actually foresaw that by 2007, 2008, we would be running out of power.
Mm.
And the decision was taken not to build any power stations at that point. So I'm afraid that is one of the major issues. Then, secondly, came when they were actually going out to tender. The government again interfered with the affairs in the tendering process and basically selected Hitachi. They selected more or less a new design, whereas it should have been a better decision to go along with a more traditional power station,
yeah,
albeit more modernized. By choosing what they did, I think there have been design flaws and a number of issues coming along the line.
So now that then begs the question, because a few weeks ago we remember that the State of the Nation, the President announced the fact that the national utility is going to be split up into the three various different divisions and sections. I think it's transmission, distribution, and power generation. And with the load shedding that's been happening over the last couple of weeks, where does renewable energy actually fit into the mix? Because we hear about failing coal supplies, we hear about a lot of parties coming out against renewable energies and IPPs. What's your take?
Again, a complex question. I'd like to just go back,
yeah, sure,
one step,
yeah,
and that is quite a few years ago, they did recommend splitting Eskom into three components, exactly the ones you mentioned: transmission, generation, and distribution.
Yeah.
And in fact, in a parliamentary paper, Professor Lloyd and I followed the same view. So I believe that is an essential part,
yeah,
of the process. Basically, you must split the generation from some of the decisions regarding generation, and Eskom cannot be both judge and jury on this particular matter.
Yeah.
So it is essential to split into those three components. Could be two, but let's say it should be three.
Yeah.
And I think the big trick in the whole question is Eskom and the government need funds.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that in due course, financial assistance must come into Eskom, and it's important. I don't think any parts of Eskom should be fully privatized.
Yeah.
They should be public private partnerships.
Yeah.
But what is essential is that it should not be given out into private partnerships with anyone with strong links into one of the energy mixes, whether it be renewables or whether it be actually a coal company or something like that. It must be someone who has that experience.
Yeah.
So that is one of the provisos. And you can see how the conflict could arise if it goes to a renewable company.
Yes.
I think the other thing that needs to be stressed is there's a lot of talk of IPPs and renewables. Let us just examine that.
Yeah.
The IPPs are essential for the future of this country.
Yeah.
We need additional generation, and Eskom cannot continue to do all the generation in the country. It just becomes too large a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, one day we will have to generate possibly 70, 80,000 and not maybe only 30, 40 years' time.
Yeah.
70, 80,000 megawatts of electricity. Now, that would be wrong to have it all in
Eskom's hands.
In Eskom's hands. And what we've got to look at is having Eskom have them in IPPs. Now the question then is, what should they be generating?
Yeah.
Clearly, one would hope that generation IPPs, they at the moment are associated with renewables, and that should not be the case. we can come on to that.
Yeah.
But if it was a coal powered power station in an IPP, that would be excellent. If it was a nuclear power station, that would also be excellent. Basically, the power that is generated by renewables and the current lot of IPPs must actually compete on a level playing field with traditional power from fossil fuels and nuclear.
Yeah.
It's my opinion, and many others, by the way, that renewables themselves in those power stations are receiving essentially substantial subsidies from various quarters, and that they're nowhere near as efficient. And one can look at that. They're weather-related. That means they're unreliable, unpredictable, intermittent, and all those things.
Yeah.
And actually, they require, renewables require, generation of 100% backup, so that they're available all the time.
Yeah.
Now, all this costs money.
Which is where part of the issue is. But then I have then a question, given the line of thought that you're on now. So are you saying that if there's an IPP that is producing and it's not necessarily renewable, it's coal, for example, like let's say there's a mine and the mine is producing its own power but using coal, that they should have, can I say, an equal access to the same amount of capital that is being given to renewables? Because I've visited a wind turbine site in the Eastern Cape, and I remember the farmer on whose land it was talking about the fact that the government actually pays them to have these wind turbines on their land, so they're subsidizing, you know, that type of wind generation in that way. So are we then saying that if a mine, for example, has a coal plant that is producing power, that they should also be receiving the same subsidies, or should we scrap subsidies altogether?
Subsidies must be scrapped altogether. There can be initial assistance, but in the long term, a subsidy leads to economic weaknesses, and that's a serious economic matter.
Yeah.
You start subsidizing inefficient industries, and that is essentially what is happening at the moment. If you have a look at the literature will tell you that the weakness of renewables is that it's got a very, what they call, low energy intensity. They only produce wind approximately 35% of the time. On average, solar only produces 26% of the time, whereas coal, when it's operating efficiently, of course, should produce at least 80%, and nuclear is as high as 90%. I would also like to just define a renewable. A lot of people say, well, look at it, renewables are actually very good at producing certain things. Have a look at the hydroelectric plants in wherever it is. Yes, is it a renewable or what have you? Hydroelectric plants and the heat form of power that comes from hot springs and what have you. Are very reliable by and large. They still might do economic damage, and we could discuss economic damage of renewables. Nobody talks about that.
One of the things that South Africans want to now know and understand is Eskom headed down the right path, or should they be trying to incorporate different power generation methods, because at the moment they rely a lot on coal. So I guess in 5-10 years time, and part of the issues that are being cited at the moment is coal supplies and the like, should they be trying to diversify, perhaps have a hydro plant like you see in, I think, Lake Kariba, and I think Lake Tanganyika in north.
I can answer that immediately.
Yes.
We should be able to have our own energy. We don't have the water. We don't have the necessary strengths and resources to go that route. So essentially, we have coal. We don't even have gas, and we have uranium, nuclear material. I believe that Eskom should not really be looking outside of the traditional sources of power. That is a task, possibly, that renewables, at least not renewables, the IPPs could look at, providing they operate on a basis of offering equal quality of power. 100%. They must have their own backup. They must have all the things that produce quality, what we call distributable energy, which means that you can turn it on and off when you want it, not when the wind decides wants. So there's no harm in them pursuing that. And their main focus should be on generating and giving South Africa a baseload supply. Which can be used for economic growth. The other thing about renewables which people forget is that renewables are a power source which not only is intermittent and unreliable, but in its own right, if one goes that route, you will actually use the term, undermine power. It will destroy the coal industry. The coal industry is the largest commodity industry in this country.
Yeah.
It's also the largest export.
Yeah.
To do that and just leave it buried in the ground, and there's something like 10 trillion rands worth of it, plus the added value.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be economic suicide. You really have to try and put your head around it.
Yeah.
The same actually applies with nuclear power to the same extent.
Mm.
Other than that, it also will destroy jobs. You can see in this country going forward a whole lot of ghost towns forming on the East Rand, and previous towns and villages that were built up around our power.
Yeah.
And maybe the better course would be to go for what they call, and this is an important point, what they call helicoal, high efficiency, low emission coal.
Yeah.
Coal-fired power plants, which are very different to the old style.
Why haven't we built these? And I think at the moment we have Kusile and Medupi. Are those running on that technology?
They are moving on that technology. Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, we seem to have made a mistake. They in the initial designs, but they come on stream relatively quickly, where people know what to have followed. The right procedures.
Yeah.
Obviously, it takes a number of years to build either a nuclear-fired power station or indeed a coal-fired power station.
Mm.
Let's say 5 to 7 years, maybe a bit longer. If you do it efficiently, there's a lot of argument that some say that it will never be finished.
Sorry to cut you off, but would it be possible to then convert some of our existing coal power stations to the high-intensity process that you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But you've got to make sure that there are sufficient coal supplies to do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that can longer-term also come into play is to build nuclear power. South Africa, some years ago, was developing the PBMR,
yeah,
a pebble bed modular reactor, and it closed down. In fact, I did an economic study on that,
yeah,
and I said this is an ideal way to go forward. And within 6 months of completing the study, they decided to stop it. And I still stand by the fact that it should have been pursued, and there are a number of other countries that are looking at it. And you must remember, a lot of the war fleets of the world, ships,
yes,
have nuclear powered.
Yeah, the submarines and the...
And they don't blow up. You know, it's formed a very reliable form and safe form of power there. Mm. There have been sailors sitting right next to this reactor.
The reactors. But in terms of actually then building a nuclear power station, energy is an immediate problem. So people are looking for those immediate fixes. But, you know, some of these things are more medium to long term, 5, 10 years.
Madiwa, excellent line of thought.
Yeah.
The fact is that we have allowed certain of our maintenance and coal supplies to dwindle and to be unreliable.
Yeah.
Our first task, we actually can generate 40,000 megawatts.
Yeah.
And we are not producing anything like that at the present point in time.
Mm.
The first task is to get that correct.
Mm.
In the meantime, an immediate decision should be made to go ahead with certain actually coal and nuclear plants.
Yeah.
Tastepunt,
yeah,
is one for nuclear extensions at Kubu, and there are a number of coal-fired power stations.
Mm.
Those will take 5 or 6 or 7 years, 8 years to complete. But when we really run out of petrol, I was going to say, but let's call it energy.
Yeah.
really should only be in about 2025 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And these things are not built in one enormous chunk.
Mm.
You get phase one, phase two, phase three. So the money is spread over a period, and you'll get, let's say it's a four-pack power plant instead of a six-pack. You'll get one coming on stream, then two coming on stream, and what have you. That is the normal process.
Yeah.
And they take normally about 2 or 3 years apart. Obviously, there's an initial stage.
Yeah.
And that is the way, if we make a decision now in that direction, that would be where we go. One of the key issues that people come up with is, nuclear is dangerous. It's not. It's proven to be, over time, not the man killer that everybody felt.
Yeah.
And there are safe plants, and they've improved those. Similarly, coal has been improved
over time.
Mm. So I think that's a major issue. The externalities from coal are not what people think they are.
Mm.
On the other hand, let me say that renewables take 2 or 3 years to complete. They only produce 35 or 26% of the time, and they need all the backup.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they are also environmentally unfriendly in a major way. Wind kills birds at a prodigious rate. Not the normal little bird that your cat catches, but big birds, rare birds.
Yeah. Eagles.
Eagles. Yeah. Birds that people come thousands of miles to see.
Yeah.
They didn't come to see windmills.
Yeah.
They came to see the birds. And they're going to cover, because of the low density, over 100,000 square kilometers of South Africa. They're going to affect possibly 200,000 square kilometers of
South Africa.
That is a huge chunk of land if you spread it along the coast. The other thing is they're a long way away from areas of dense economic population and industry. And I think it's true to say that what one needs is coal, and nuclear at the coast, coal-fired power plants
inland,
and a sprinkling.
Along.
And then I must say two things that actually solar is important as a potential domestic use.
Okay.
And gas we don't have.
Yeah.
It would be a game changer if we found gas. But we do not have it at this stage.
At this stage.
And we would become, we are an energy exporter at the moment with our coal.
Yeah.
We'll become an energy importer. I don't think people really consider that.
Yeah.
Those economic impacts, apart from the coal, at least the ghost towns that will form, are absolutely enormous.
Yeah. And I want to touch on what you just spoke about right now when you said that South Africa is an energy exporter. And it's actually come up with a number of economists to say, why does South Africa keep exporting energy or selling electricity to other countries, especially neighboring or surrounding countries, when there's such power constraints domestically? Why should they be selling energy onto Zambia, to Zimbabwe and the like, when domestic demand is in some cases outweighing domestic supply?
Well, this is how long is a piece of string, but basically I think it would be, you know, if we were running efficiently and we had sufficient power, we should be exporting energy. In any case, we import some energy from the Kariba.
Yeah.
And if things go the way, we'll soon be importing energy from Botswana. Whereas we're going to lose our energy sovereignty.
Yeah.
Basically to Germany. because they supply wind equipment.
Yeah.
And secondly, to China, because they are the major manufacturers of solar.
Yes.
We will never be able to really compete with those suppliers.
Yeah.
It's also true to say that, and I know there's a conflict on this, in Germany, and a lot of Europe, by the way, where wind is a high penetration component, an important component, there's energy poverty being formed because of the prices.
Yeah.
Their prices are exceedingly high. And it has been said that Germany has lost its sovereignty to Russia. Because whether we like it or not, Eastern Europe, Russia, China, India, and actually the ASEAN countries, spelled ASEAN,
yeah,
are building their futures not on renewables, but on fossil fuels, coal,
yeah,
where they got gas, and also on nuclear. That's what they are looking at over the next 30, 40 years. Nuclear,
yeah,
doesn't produce carbon dioxide. I don't want to go that route. But our percentage contribution is so minuscule. Even if we went ahead and went 100% wind, apart from having a very expensive system and a very unreliable system, we would make a difference to the world, the global temperature, over the next 50 to 100 years of only 0.01 degrees centigrade.
Which is nothing.
Let me hear that again.
Which is nothing.
Yes, you can hardly measure it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So that brings us to the end of our discussion. We're talking to Rob Jeffrey. He has, as he said, many years, decades, in fact, 40 years in the industry, having built a number of power stations around South Africa. And he's also an economist, formerly managing director of Econometrics. Some key takeaways from what Rob is talking about. He's saying that it's key that South Africa actually ensures its energy sovereignty, and that we should make sure that we don't end up becoming an importer of energy, and that exporting energy is actually a good thing, and that at the moment, with the current technology that's in place, traditional forms of power generation are probably the way forward, because renewable energy still has a long way to go before it becomes an efficient way and a reliable way to produce electricity. So that's us. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Make sure you tune in. This has been Business Spotlight. I am Liwa Kabaza.